The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
On this segment of Lions Roar, Josh Mank talks with head volleyball coach Craig Case about his team's four set victories over Texas Woman's University and Texas A&M Kingsville.
Both in Texas.
Yes.
They were both in Texas like we are now. You went out and got two good road wins. Both gyms are, A, hard to play in, and B, they're good teams. And so to be able to go into those two gyms and get a couple of wins was a really positive thing. And, one of the things that I liked about it, and it's one of the things I thought we did really well early, is we had a lot of balance over those two wins. Mm-hmm. And so, when we're doing that, we're harder to stop and we're harder to get prepared. It's harder for other teams to prepare for us. So being able to get out and have some balance over that week, I think will help us moving forward.
I was at that Texas women's match for at least part of it. Traffic was absolutely horrendous getting over there. But rolled out to a 25-14 win in the first set. Then they came back and won 25-17. It just seemed to be, and I believe we lost the second set at Kingsville as well. It was a little closer. That one was 24-26. We'll get to the specifics on that in a minute.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Because we have there's content and there's time we have to fill. I mean, you do have to get analysis of the game. That's kind of why we do this. So what is it about responding to a set loss that this team does so well? Because it seems like almost every time we drop a set, while that's less than ideal, they always seem to bounce back with a win.
Well, yeah, I think there's a couple of things at play. Number one, both Kingsville and Texas Women's made a lot of really good adjustments after that first set. And like I said, when we're playing balance, we're hard to prepare for. And so, sometimes you're sitting here, and Texas Women's was a really good example because we were really trying to get some particular matchups going, and we weren't able to get the matchups we wanted, but then we got a lot of mismatches on our side that I thought helped us. And so we were able to go after those things. But what happens in those situations, for example, we'll say Jaren. We'll get Jaren Wacker a really good mismatch. Well, the other team coming to that second set is either going to rotate around a little bit or they're going to set their defense up differently. And so, I think to answer your question more directly, in that third set or after we drop a set, we've tried to figure out how the other team's stopping us. Mm-hmm. And then we can either make those same adjustments of rotating around, or we can say, hey, this is how we want you to try to score. This is what we need you to do. And so, I think that's the one thing that this team does real well. I think the other thing is I think they're confident. I think they know we've got a talented team and that, we've got the ability to bounce back and to respond to those situations. And so I think that's one of the good things about this team. And then the other thing I think is important, too, is we've got really good depth. So if you go into a set and we lose a set or we struggle in a set, we can really try to – we might try different personnel. Mm-hmm. We could try a variety of things. And sometimes when you put somebody different in there, that all of a sudden gets things going, and that person's a different player than the other team was prepared for. So there's a lot that goes into those recovering from those sets. I guess the bottom line is we did, and we hope to continue to do that.
Speaking of that depth, I just overheard you talking with Marcus Jensen, our assistant SID, going over, who you want to nominate for player of the week and that kind of thing. But that depth, sometimes it hurts those individual accolades. But, you look at the I was just looking at the Texas women's match. Only one player with double-digit kills in four sets. That doesn't happen very often. When you've got it that spread out, we're looking at 4, 6, 10, 9, 9, 10. I mean, that's a lot of spread out talent. Getting those points for you.
Yeah, and I think it was Celeste. I think Celeste, did she lead us in kills both?
Her and Madison Luther both had 10 at Texas Women's.
Yeah, I think, A, that's positive because that's two true freshmen.
Yeah.
We're hoping to count on for the next 3 years after this. But, I think the, it's just a tough thing. When you've got a team spread out defensively, you're tough to stop as long as you're producing. So, those things are all important, and you look at the league leaders. I don't know. We don't have hardly anybody in the top five in any categories. I think, and so maybe
Shelly in hitting percentage probably.
Yeah, Shelly's probably leading the league in hitting percentage, and so. But other than that, you look at other teams, and they've got two or three in that top ten, and we're not represented quite as well. But I'd rather be represented well in wins than individual stats.
Yeah, Shelly's hitting .407 for the season, which is pretty dang impressive.
Pretty good. At one point, she was about 30 points higher than the next person behind her.
She is now 52 points higher than the person behind her. Something tells me if she keeps that up, she'll have the plaque at the end of the year they give out. I mean, she's got 228 kills against only 41 errors.
Yeah, she's efficient. She's an efficient hitter and makes really good decisions.
And then you're right. I mean, when you look at it, she's six in the conference in blocks. We spread out the setting all over the place. We don't have everybody in the top in digs because
we have three setters.
Yeah, we're running an offense that's never been invented before, the 373 or something like that.
You know, we did have an interesting match that we didn't talk about a couple weeks ago.
Talk about it.
We had a match for the first time in my career where we had four players with 10-plus kills, or 10-plus assists, I'm sorry.
Okay, so that would have been Celeste, Riley,
Lena,
Carolina, and who else?
Savannah Rutledge.
Oh, all on bump sets off of out-of-system passes?
Yep.
Oh, is that good statistician work by the home team? Was it at home? Which match was it?
I don't remember exactly which match it was, but it was the first time in my coaching career that we had four players.
Was it a five-set match?
Probably. I don't know. Have we played anything but five-set matches?
I was going to say, it's all been three. It's all been five and four, except for sweeping Angelo, which is, I'm not going to say the least probable, but, I mean, that was definitely, as we talked about last week, it was the first time we'd swept them in 12 years.
Yeah, they're a good team.
Other than that, the last swept Midwestern. The other sweeps have been Midwestern and Cameron.
Yeah.
Going back, I mean, you've won 13 out of 14 matches now. Going into a big three-match week this week, got to hit the road to Cameron, who's at the bottom of the standings right now. But you and I were talking about, just road matches are tough anyway.
Yeah.
And then you go into a much smaller gym than what people are used to and a team that's coming off their first conference win. It could be a trap game if you're not careful.
Oh, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, this is going to be a tough match regardless of the context. You know, we were talking with the team, and I don't know if they've got three or four losses on the year, but, you know, they're the best four-win team in the nation. I mean, if they were in most other leagues in the country, they'd be well over 500. So, you know, we're excited. We get excited to play good volleyball teams, and that's what we get to do tomorrow night, and excited for that.
Before we get into the review of the home weekend coming up,
I hope we have some caller questions.
We do have a caller question. Rocky from Shiner here. Why do they call him a pair of scissors? Can you buy one scissor?
I don't know. I'm stumped by that one. I was not prepared for that question.
Along the same lines, why is it a pair of pants when it's one thing? Can you buy just one pant?
Well, I guess that would be a leg sleeve or something. I don't know.
I mean,
I didn't go to school for this stuff. And
did you go to school?
I did, but it was so long ago, I'm not sure I remember any of it.
All right, old man Craig, so long ago. going into this weekend, the last two home matches of the season, and as we've said numerous times, the field house has been exceptionally friendly to Lions, especially the last 3 years, coincidentally the same time that I arrived. But Western New Mexico and UT Permian Basin, and it's also senior weekend. Give us a little bit of a breakdown of these teams that we're about to see, and then get some more stuff after that.
Well, you know, Western New Mexico is one of the most well-coached teams in the nation. It just doesn't matter who he puts out there. They're going to be ready to play, especially playing them first. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's going to be a good opportunity to play against a well-coached team and to be able to make adjustments and counter-adjustments. And, you know, we went there, we had our hands full, and then, you know, just kind of towards the end of the match, I thought we put the foot on the gas and got past them. So they're going to be good. They're well-coached. And then, you know, we got a rematch with UTPB, and we were able to win in five out at their gym, and I'm sure they're hungry to get in here and try to avenge that loss in our gym. So really athletic team, UTPB, UT Permian Basin, again, well-coached, really competitive. You know, they've got several players in their team that we recruited, mm-hmm. and so those players will be very excited to come to the field house and try to beat us. And so, you know, I'm expecting a high-level volleyball match. I mean, I'm expecting three high-level volleyball matches, but those are going to be some pretty exciting matches this weekend. Being at home, being homecoming, having senior day, all those things. And you know, you don't look forward to senior day, because you know what that represents. But at the same time, it's a great opportunity to pay respect to several players that have had a huge impact on our program and have helped get us to where we're at right now.
Let's talk a little bit about those seniors. Give us a little breakdown of the senior class and, you know, the type of people they are and the type of players they are.
Well, I'm not sure any of them have ever gotten a B in school. They're incredible, incredible students. You know, you got Jaron and Jasmine Wacker, Preston Laneman, Peyton McMillan. We got a couple other seniors or a couple other juniors who have redshirted. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not sure what their plans are going to be next year yet, because they'll still have some eligibility left. But, you know, those guys have just been, they've given a lot to our program, and you know, whether it be, you know, guiding younger players, whether it be on-court performance, whether it be leading on campus, leading, you know, within small groups. We've been really blessed to have them as part of our program, and I as a coach have been blessed to be able to work with them. And I don't know at this point that they would be feeling all that blessed to have to work with me, but hopefully as time passes, they'll appreciate it. And, you know, that reminds me, 2 weekends ago when we hosted Angelo, I had the opportunity to sit down and visit with about 6 of our alums. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really needed that. That was a fun weekend. It was tough losing to Tarleton on Friday night, and we got out, we had a good win against Angelo. And then I got to sit down with some alums, and we talked for about 2 hours and told stories. And it was a blast, and it really helped remind me, you know, this is why you do those things. This is why you do this, and this is why you try to help them get to another level. And so I'm excited to have another group of seniors moving up and moving out and getting ready to take on the world.
That group has taken you to a 20-5 record so far this year. 20 wins for the first time in 5 years. Tell us what that 20-win barrier means in comparison. I think people are used to hearing a 20-win college basketball season being a good thing. And honestly, this might be the most Division II volleyball that's ever been talked on the radio outside of the state of Minnesota, if I had to guess, over the course of this year. So tell us how important a 20-win season is, especially in the context of the regional rankings that will be coming out later this week.
Well, you figure you're going to play about 30 matches, 30 to 32 matches a year. So if you're winning two-thirds of your matches, you're in pretty good shape. And most seasons, I would tell you 20-win is the key to getting into the regional tournament. I think this year is going to be a little bit different because I think the RMAC, the top teams in the RMAC have really nice years. And so I think it's going to take 3, maybe 4 more wins to make sure we get an opportunity to play in the regional tournament, outside of winning the Lone Star Conference tourney, which is still the goal. And so 20 wins, it's a good benchmark. I think everybody gets it. You mm-hmm. know, it's relatable to basketball. But, again, you're winning two-thirds of your matches. And year in and year out, if you're winning two-thirds of your matches, you've got a pretty good program.
It's kind of weird talking about the regional rankings and conference tournament when there's still technically a quarter of the conference season left. Yep. It just happens to be condensed in a span of a week and a half.
Yep.
Looking at it, Tarleton 15-0, Commerce 12-3, Angelo 12-4, West Texas 10-6. So there's definitely still some jockeying for position in those very important 1-2-3-4 positions in the conference tournament. I mean, and UT Permian Basin's only got 7 losses. They're technically, they haven't, somehow they've played two fewer than West Texas. I'm not sure how that works out. But, I mean, there's still plenty of important positioning to be done before the conference tournament in a couple of weekends.
Yeah. You look at this weekend coming in. You've got us at 12-3. You got UT Permian Basin at 7-7. You've got Western New Mexico at 4-10. So they're fighting to get into that 8 seed. Meanwhile, those two have to play us, and then they also have to play Texas Women's, who's 6-9. So TWU is looking at this weekend as well as must win, because sweeping this weekend or sweeping this week will put them at 9-9. So there's just a lot of jockeying going on right now. You know, our goal is whatever challenge is in front of us, that's the one we've got to win, mm-hmm. and that's the one we got to focus on. You know, if we win out and we handle our business, all that stuff is great. It'd be a pretty incredible season, 25-5 regular season, but that's not the goal. You know, the goal now is Cameron, mm-hmm. and when we're done with that, then the goal is Western New Mexico. Then the goal is UTPB. Then the goal is this. And so that's one of the things you asked earlier about, you know, what's one of the reasons why we've been able to bounce back from losses, because I think we're reset. We're constantly resetting and going, this is the goal now. Hey, we lost set 2. It's 1-1. We got to win set 3. Mm-hmm. We know we're going to have to win set 4, but we can't win set 4 until we win set 3 and then move on. And that's one of the reasons I think we're good in 5 sets too, just constantly resetting that goal and going, hey, nothing we can do about that. What's in front of us is what we got to focus on. And I think, you know, that this team's good at that.
I think that's also one of the things that makes your sport so unique is if you could theoretically win or lose a set 25-0.
Yes.
And come back and win the next three or lose the next three, and that 25-0 doesn't matter. Unlike, you know, where football's in four quarters and that score is going to roll over.
It just keeps carrying over.
You have and their whole thing, one game at a time, one game at a time, one game at a time. Yours is 25 points at a time, pretty much. It's almost like you're breaking it up into, you know, almost 100 games instead of 25 over the course of a season.
Sometimes I'm nervous that we are going to get beat 25-0, and so I take a deep breath once we finally score that first point.
If you score, you have to score the first one before you get to the 25th one.
Yeah, one point at a time, buddy. One point at a time.
All right, well, good luck to the Lions this weekend. The senior day game will be, or no, the Friday game will be at 5 o'clock on Friday. Senior day at 1 o'clock. Take a little tailgate break. Yep. Come inside. Watch us win, celebrate the seniors, and go back outside and tailgate some more and get ready for the football game.
Sounds like a plan to me.
All right, man. Well, that's head coach Craig Case of the volleyball team. We'll be right back after a quick break, and then we'll talk to Coach Carville here in just a second.
The program you're enjoying right now was made possible by a group of folks just like you who make contributions to public radio. Support programs just like this one. Visit KETR.org and click donate.
All right, we're back live from Suffers in Greenville, Texas. Craig Case, Greenville, Texas, for the Lions Roar Coaches Show. We're here with our head coach, Colby Carthel, of the football team. Lions coming off a big, big, big win, 55-7 out in western New Mexico in Silver City. A little bit of an interesting game. To score 34 points there in the second quarter, almost more points than yards in that quarter. Have you ever seen anything quite like that with that many non-offensive touchdowns in quick succession?
I've seen a lot in my years of coaching and playing, but that was the most points I've ever been a part of on either end of it, scoring or receiving. So it was fun. We didn't get a quick start there on the game, start out 0-0 there after one. But first play of the second quarter, and Ohio made a really nice pick on that fourth down play. And Major obviously really likes it. He's got his line signed up continuously. So
I was going to say, man, that's going to be we're at the beginning of the segment. You've got a while.
Your arm's going to get tired, buddy. But he made a great play and ran it all the way back to 12, and offense scored shortly after. And then it was just, you know, kind of the route was on from there with two more pick sixes and then a return, a kick return for six there after the one touchdown we gave up. So it was a fun third quarter. And I don't know, I'm not real good at math, but I think if we did that every quarter, we'd beat somebody, what, 132?
132, yeah.
Fantastic.
That's better math than you did at Booster Club luncheon today, I'll say.
Yes, I'm not real good at math, but I got that one right.
Well, I mean, the math you need to know, as long as it's one greater than the other team. The defense obviously only giving up one touchdown, holding Western New Mexico under their average, which wasn't great to begin with.
Right.
But sort of like we were talking about with Coach Case and their team, a lot of depth. There wasn't anybody that had double-digit tackles. I believe Nima had nine. Mm-hmm. There were pass breakups all over the place, tackles for loss all over the place. It was definitely pretty much everybody that got on the plane had a very big part in making a defensive play.
Well, everybody that got on the plane played.
Yeah.
You know, and
that makes a participation
even our punter,
chart.
You know, been a part of some of those games where everybody plays but the punter. But, you know, they did a good job a few times and held us. And we had to punt, and we punted very well, you know, averaged well over 40 yards net punting and dropped one down on the 1 yard line, which was fun. We had a good showing throughout, and like I say, it's always fun when everybody gets to play, and some of the guys saw their first action of the year. We broke a red shirt there with Davion Bradley, and so just a good night or good day overall, and I thought played well in all five phases of the special teams, and with a block punt. And one of our goals was to gain a possession on kickoff, which we were able to do that. A kick return for a touchdown.
Yep.
Our net punting was very good. And then
punt return was good.
On top of that, the kickoff off the 10-yard line.
That was one of the most impressive things I've seen. So we scored the touchdown there in the third quarter. Unsportsmanlike conduct, a little, I guess they called it excessive celebration.
Yes.
And so you back up 15 from the 35, but then from there it's half the distance.
Yes.
So you're kicking off from the 10-yard line.
10-yard line, and that's usually doesn't bode too well for your kickoff team, but our kickoff team led all of college football in coverage last year, and they're second right now by about a third of a yard, and they proved why, because it was a right at an 80-yard net kickoff, I believe it was, because they started on the 10. So we kicked off from the 10, and getting an 80-yard net kickoff is darn near impossible in college football. I don't know if it's ever been done before, so that was a first for us as well, because there's been a lot of people kick off from the 10, and if you happen to have a big wind or a good roll and you get a touchback, well, that's still only a 70-yard net kickoff. So 80-yard net kickoff, that may be some obscure Jeopardy question someday, or an ESPN stat, and we'll be forever remembered for that one.
I'm good at looking up stats. I don't know if net kickoff is going to be one of them. That's what's one of the other things that's crazy about it. Kristoff had an onside kick in there and averaged 65.8 a kickoff.
Yes.
Well, there's only 65 yards from where you normally kick off to the goal line. So he averaged more than a touchback
every kickoff.
While having an onside kick.
Yep.
I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Little baby Kristoff continues to amaze.
The first kickoff, I was up in the press box helping with the stats, and the first one went out of the back of the end zone. They're like, wow.
Yeah, it's like, landed two mountains over, I think.
Yeah, you guys might want to get used to that, because if we score enough, he's going to do that a bunch.
I was going through our game balls today. We do that every Monday, mm-hmm. and they're all scuffed up. And that's from Kristoff with extra points and kickoffs, kicking them out of the stadium, landing up there on that Rocky
yep.
Mountain,
well, and then
scuffed them all up.
He kicked it over the net on the PAT going to the left into that ravine, and I remember the game management ball people, they just kind of looked at each other. They're like, well, what do we do?
Those balls are $79 a piece. I may have to take them out of his scholarship next semester.
I was going to say, I'm sure we can talk to Connor and figure out where
that may not be best in class, so we probably won't do that.
We will find a way to get the $79 for the footballs. And then they've got that shed up there where they do the filming from the end zone. Where they attempt to do the filming from. Well, on that side, at least you're close. On the other side, it looks like you're watching from the moon. But I think he got it into the film shed once.
Yes.
I couldn't see. I mean, it seemed like he was making it a target on those PATs.
He was putting them back there every time, and did a tremendous job, and he always has. Even the officials who, you know, are supposed to remain neutral and everything else, one of them looked at me on the kickoff, and he's like, man, y'all's kicker is amazing. That little guy can really boot it.
Yeah.
And so he is. He's been an impressive young man to watch grow and develop and set a lot of records and get his degree, and couldn't be more proud of Kristoff Martinez.
Looking through the offensive stats, every quarterback got a completion. Every receiver had a catch. A couple of guys, I believe, that Arnez Archie, I believe that's his first career catch as
mm-hmm.
well. Dom Velazquez might have been his first career catch. Nate Davis, a redshirt freshman, winds up as the leading rusher. It wasn't just that the guys further down the depth chart got to play. It's that they performed well when they got in there as well.
Right. You know, and that's fun when your third-string running back, you know, leads your team in rushes and rushing yards. I mean, you took care of business pretty early. But there was a lot of guys, like I say, had some fun experiences out there and some big plays. And you know, we had a big touchdown there late that got called back with a holding penalty, but you know that happens. It was just really fun. It's fun for the young guys to get the playing time. It's fun for the older guys too, because they're rooting those guys on. You know,
yeah.
Those are guys that are always taking the depth reps in practice, and you know, seeing somebody get excited for their first catch or run or touchdown or tackle or what have you. Mm-hmm. It's fun for the whole team. Really helps team morale and the chemistry part of things. That is the most important aspect of championship football.
Moving on to from that game, so the Lions now 6-2 on the year. Regional rankings came out today. The Lions are in seventh. Let me pull that up. Right now, if the season ended today, we'd be making a trip back to Mankato. How do you feel about looking at those regional rankings?
Well, excited to be where we are, and I think that, you know, has a lot to do with, you know, our body of work and who we've played. And we're in the toughest regions. We'd be, you know, probably 3 or 4, and you know, maybe even ranked size 2 in some of those other regions. But Super Region 4 is always very, very tough, very, very competitive, and this year is no different. So you look at that, and you look at the top 25 that the coaches vote on.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches know the good teams, and there's 8 teams in our region that are in the top 20. In the country. So it's a really strong region again this year, but I'm glad to be where we're at, and season ended today, we'd be in business, you know, headed mm-hmm. back to Mankato where we, you know, played last year, and nothing good from Minnesota ever comes, except for volleyball coaches.
Well, we managed to pull a couple of W's out of there last
yeah.
year, too.
No, so. We were. I'm teasing.
Those are floating around.
Anybody has some friends or family in Minnesota. That was just a joke. I'm trying to be politically correct and not get us in trouble with the FCC again. But anyway, It would be fun just to be in the playoffs, and that's what we've told our guys even after the loss at Tarleton. Hey, you know, you still control your own destiny. You got four games left. Let's break it up into four quarters like a football game. Let's go 1-0 each week, and we were able to last week. Now we got to try to get to 1-0 again this week and win the second quarter because we do. You went out, you're going to be playing in the postseason, and that's one of our goals at the first of the year.
Looking at the rest of the region, Minnesota, Duluth, and Mankato are 1-2. Colorado Mines at 3, and then three teams that we've played are directly ahead of us. CSU Pueblo at 4, Tarleton at 5, Midwestern at 6, and we usually try to focus on our team when we talk about this. But that Tarleton Midwestern game, it's turned into one, I guess, that everybody else in the region definitely has circled. What do you anticipate seeing out of that game?
You know, I
haven't played both teams at this point.
We played them both, and obviously the Midwestern game was a lot more fun than the Tarleton game.
Absolutely.
And I'd love to have that fourth quarterback against Tarleton, but that's the way it goes. You got to play well for every week and for four quarters, and we didn't that night. So it'll be a really good matchup. You know, the Lone Star Conference championship's on the line for all three of us, you know. Mm-hmm. So Midwestern wins that game, and everybody wins out. There'd be a three-way tie for the conference title. So, you know, I guess rooting for Midwestern a little bit in that regard, but it'll be fun. You know, it'll shake things up a little bit in the region, whichever way it comes out. But I think all three of us, if we handle our business, have a chance to continue playing and probably set up some neat matchups in the playoffs. You know, having to play a team twice and everything else. So we'll kind of see how things go. But I expect that to be a big game there in Wichita Falls. It's Midwestern's homecoming, and I expect it to be a high-scoring affair. You know, there's some good players and good offenses and defenses, but I think the offenses are a little stronger with those two teams, and so I expect it to be a 42-35 type ball game, mm-hmm. and we'll see how it comes out.
So the Lions move into homecoming this week, 4:00 kickoff on Saturday against the team from out in the Panhandle. Where's Maroon? Another big matchup. They're coming off a tough loss with their running back taking a hit, but they've been a little bit of a surprise in this conference as well this year.
Well, you know, a surprise, I guess, if you look at their record last year. But Coach Hughes, Hunter Hughes, a good friend of mine, and does a great job with that program and is really, changed the culture up there and which needed it to be. And he's got them playing really hard. They went up there, did everybody a huge favor. We're thanking him right now for going up and beating Central Washington up at their place. That was a big win for our conference. That helps Tarleton, Midwestern, us, everybody. And so he had them playing really well. They had won four in a row. Did slip up this past week in a rivalry game. Got their running back hurt early. And I think that just took the wind out of their sails that night. And they didn't play real well offensively. But they have proven they can beat, some of the best teams in the country. So we're going to have to really be focused in and have a good game plan and show up ready to play and play very well for four quarters to pull out a win this week.
It seems like they've been running the ball a pretty fair amount. I believe he had almost 400 yards in that Central Washington game.
Yes.
They're running back. And we've been really strong on run defense as well. I mean, the stats are slightly skewed from having one kind of rough game and then playing a triple option team. That always hurts your defensive rushing stats a little bit. How do you see that matchup playing out? Did I call that right?
Yeah, that'll be a big matchup. They're good on defense. Hunter, runs their defense, and they've been good for years. And so that'll be a fun matchup to watch. Both teams are really, really strong in special teams. They lead the nation in block punts, and I think they're second in punt return for touchdowns, and they're up there in kickoff coverage. They do some really, really good things special teams-wise, have one of the best punters in the country in John Cummings. So that'll be a good matchup for our special teams. And then, like what you're talking about, their run game versus our run defense will be fun to watch. You know, we pride ourselves on how we – defend the run, and they pride themselves on how they run the ball, and that's been the biggest change there at WT for years, throwing it around and had mm-hmm. some high-octane offenses, and it's, their motto now is to, pound it out in the run game and play-action pass and just control the clock and control the game, and they've done a good job instilling that, and so that'll be a fun matchup to see how we stack up against them, and I know we got to be ready to play Saturday.
With it being the homecoming game, we like to have a little bit of oddball question here. Do you have any good homecoming memories from high school, junior high, college, coaching, or what does a homecoming game like this mean to you?
Oh, my memory's terrible, so I don't have a whole lot of – it's hard for me to think back and everything. I don't have very fond memories of high school homecomings because I never could find a date. And, you know, it's kind of the same way in college, too. And then finally ran into Sarah, and she felt sorry for me, I guess. But anyway, I don't remember one game from the next. You know, we've had some good games here. I think we've won most of our homecoming games since we've been here. Had a big win, you know, 2 years ago against WT that was fun. You know, it was 36-0, I think it was.
Yes,
so that was a
was.
Fun one. And it's just fun. You know, homecoming's a fun week no matter what level you play, because you get a lot of people coming back, a lot of alums, former players, a lot of former just students come back to the campus, and faculty and staff retire. Everybody shows up, and there'll be several thousand people in the stands that, you know, that's the one game they come to. So you always want to put a good showing on at homecoming for all those that may only come see you once, and they'll like what they see, and they'll come back. So I'm looking forward to having a good week of practice and showing up ready to play on Saturday.
Well, Lions kick off at 4 o'clock. You're probably listening to this right before we go into the pregame show against WT here on the Lions Sports Network. Invite everybody who's here at Snuffers. Make sure you come to the game. Get there early. Tailgate will be starting at 11 a.m., volleyball at 1 o'clock, and football at 4. Thanks a lot, Coach Carthel. We're going to take a very quick break, and then we have a very, very special Canadian guest in our campus guest segment here on Lions Roar.
This show and others like it from KETR.org are made possible by generous contributions from listeners just like you. Donate today at KETR.org.
All right, we're back on the Lions Roar Coaches Show here from Snuffers in Greenville, Texas, here for our campus guest segment. And we have with us the one, the only Deputy AD for Student Success, my favorite Canadian, Judy Sackville. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Well, thank you for having me tonight, Josh.
There we go.
That's right, I got my own crowd.
She's got a fan club here, and whenever we bring people on that have fancy titles like Deputy AD for Student Success, what does that mean? What do you oversee, and what do you do at the university, basically, for people who don't know, unlike your fan club?
Well, every day it's a new challenge, but I oversee the academic success and really the overall success of our student athletes. So, in other words, we work with them academically, we work with them transitioning into the university, the transition in the middle while they're there, and while they transition out of the university. So career help, leadership help, the whole kit and caboodle. So I get the experience, everything that the coaches don't off the court. So it's fun.
You've been here, if I remember correctly, right at 10 and a half years now. Which,
well, thank you for counting, Josh. Yes,
well, we had a 10-year party. I'm not going to forget that.
Yes, so, 10 years.
So with the time that you've been involved with this university, what's the biggest positive change that you've seen?
You know, I got asked that question last week, actually.
Well, good. That means you're ready for the show.
I am ready for the show. But I think just the gradual increase in everything that we're doing, you know, from each athletic director that has been here in the past, it's just improved every year. And right now, I can't say enough about everything Tim McMurray's doing, but it's just, when he says best in class, that's what it means. So I think over the years, just seeing that transformation into not just being the best, but being the absolute best, and I really believe that in everything we do.
One of the things that also you're in charge of, you're the sport administrator for soccer, and Coach Piper hasn't been able to make many of these shows because of
golf.
And golf. Oh, and we already got to brag about golf. They had their best round ever now that you're in charge.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with soccer season, because we all know, everybody here knows it's been raining for, it feels like, about 3 years. It's our only natural grass field that we play on, and so we've had to hit the road a few times. Walk us through a little bit about what's been going on.
Yeah, you know, we have a beautiful soccer field. It's probably one of the best in the conference. In fact, the best in the conference when we have grass fields. But one of the things that we've had to really try to accommodate is the fact that we can't play on it because of so much rain. So we've had to move over to some of our partners that have helped us out over in Rockwall. And displace our girls over there, but quite honestly, it's a home away from home right now. So we are constantly checking the weather, checking the field, and we have a huge, huge matchup this week We have Texas women's on Wednesday, and if we don't play on our home field, we'll be in Rockwall. And I am telling you, we need everybody out there to help support the team. And then our final game is on Friday, and which is another big matchup. It really does determine whether or not we're going to probably host the first round playoff in the LSC.
Well, as you know.
Yeah, get funny with me. How come you don't get funny with me, Josh?
We're here. Okay. You have to get the serious parts at least a little bit out of the way. We'll probably have one more semi-serious question.
Okay.
But we've got some questions and notes from the crowd. Little known fact for everybody here, if you want to get her autograph later, Judy still holds a volleyball record for solo blocks at Clemson and was the head coach at Georgia Tech immediately after college.
I do, but I think they just don't go back that far in the record book, and they just kind of left it there for my own sake.
Yeah,
I do need a video, but they didn't do videos. They had big,
you didn't
big
have
old
June
cameras.
Back then.
Yeah, we didn't have June back then.
All right, question.
Black and white, right.
Bill from the library, what's your favorite book?
Oh, geez. Bill from the library? Well, my favorite book, I have so many. I read.
I was going to say, you have your bookshelf in your office.
My bookshelf is
full.
But I haven't read them all. I buy a lot, but I don't read them all. I buy them because I'm interested. But I will say one of my favorite beginning books when I got into leadership was Lean In, and by Sheryl Sandberg. And I love that book. So I would have to say that right now.
What is your favorite sport to watch as a spectator?
Ugh, that's so hard.
Because you played volleyball and coached.
Well, let me tell you this.
Ingrained with that, but didn't you also? You had a national record in Canada for something else.
I was a track and field athlete.
And was it a high jump record?
I was a heptathlon. I did the heptathlon, but I was a high jumper. Absolutely. I would say I don't have a favorite sport, but I will tell you this. Actually, I do have a favorite sport, but I have enjoyed watching our volleyball team this year by far. Has been the best I've ever seen them play. And it's so fun to watch them. I'm truly just a sports fan. I like everything. I like basketball a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm a real basketball person. I'm a fan. I'm not one of those people like you who sits with your book and does all the stats of that.
He does his job.
I just watch the game, and I cheer, and I yell, and I can't stand watching football on the TV. I have to be down on the field. So I love football, but I love being on the field. So I like them all. What's soccer as well. I mean, it's not a sport I don't like.
Outside of the national championship game last year, what's a memory here, a game memory at A&M Commerce over your time that stands out?
Oh, gosh.
I can say national. I'm just saying that I took
national championship.
It's too easy.
Yeah, that's too easy. You know, I think any time our teams win their first Lone Star Conference championship, and to see them run out onto the field and just get so excited and the tears and the excitement. But for me, because I deal with the academic side of the house, my best memories are when they graduate. Mm-hmm. And families are there, and we're impacting everybody. We're impacting lives. And so when I see that, that's probably the memories that I have.
I was going to say, the graduation reception we have the night before graduation's kind of got to be like your Super Bowl
a little bit. Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And I think it's more fun for me and the parents than it is for the kids. They don't want to get dressed up 2 days in a row. But it's really important that we do that. And really, the fact that you're still getting emails back from student-athletes that have left, that's to me, sets the tone of what we do here at A&M Commerce.
You and I have been on a fair amount of road trips together the last couple years.
Yeah, we have.
And we've talked, and you said that whenever you retire, one of the things you want to do is just follow a team or something around.
Like, I do, or a Starbucks barista, either one. But, yes, I would like to just follow a team. My best friend and I have said when we retire, we're just going to pick a team. We can't pick Clemson, and we can't pick A&M where she went. And we're just going to follow a team, and we're going to be those two old ladies that just run around and cheer, and everybody loves.
Well, now here's the thing. This is going to make you officially a guest of this show. I think I've even asked the provost this.
Okay.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
It's an interesting question, Josh. A hot dog is not a sandwich to me.
Correct answer. And now we can end the show. Judy, you've been a fantastic guest. Thanks again to Coach Case and Coach Garthel for joining us. Leave the headset on. We'll be back next week, Monday, here at Snuffers, every Monday at 6 o'clock. Thanks a lot for watching on Facebook Live and listening on the pregame show. We'll be back next week on the Lions Roar Coaches Show. Go Lions.